Well, hello, it's Stuck Mike and Paul Preinecker. Hi, welcome back, Paul.
Mike, it's been a year since I've seen you. I know this is audio, but shake your hand and say welcome back. We're going to have a great show this week.
I think we are. We've got all kinds of interesting folks lined up to talk with. Later in this hour, we're going to be speaking to the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and we may, if we're lucky, hear from the Flying Musicians, who will talk later in the hour. But right now, we're speaking with a representative of the National Transportation Safety Board, Don Ike, who is a senior meteorologist. And Don, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Weather, we know, plays a role in aviation accidents, and that's where you come in, right?
Yes, it is. We always look at the man, the machine, and the environment. And the environment can work with you or against you. And in general aviation, a large percent, about 24% of our accidents are tied to adverse weather, be it winds, low ceilings, visibility, thunderstorms, icing, all takes its works against us and can cause accidents. So it's something we look at the NTSB and try to look at, make recommendations, inform our pilots of the importance of basic things such as getting a pre-flight weather briefing, getting an updated briefing, making a PIREP when you do see adverse conditions. And again, have an alternate, make an alternate plan. If you can't continue with the flight, make an alternate decision, land, refuel, make it safe. And again, report, utilize ATC sources, and again, making those weather-wise decisions.
Don, I'd like to just say thank you to you and everybody at the NTSB for your role in promoting and advocating safety in the industry.
Thank you.
I mean, you're an outstanding group. One of the 10 most wanted is loss of control, and I know that's a topic on the agenda for the NTSB. What's the connection between adverse weather and loss of control events?
Well, weather is a big factor behind it, be it spatial disorientation in the clouds, thunderstorms, turbulence, icing. Approximately 60% of the loss of control events we do look at have some weather involved to it. A lot of it could be just airspeed management, though.
Mm-hmm.
But weather is a subtle part that can work against you. And I know in the cases I look at and get involved with a lot of in-flight breakups, things of that nature, weather is the biggest factor that we look at when we do see in-flight breakups.
How early in an investigation does a meteorologist get involved to determine whether or not it was a cause?
Well, when the investigator gets out there and we start seeing preliminary information that there was weather or thunderstorms in the area, we'll get involved with that within several hours after the event or the next day when the investigator gets there. They look at the local conditions and say, well, there may have been something here. It may be days afterwards when the investigator's out in the field and identifying that the engine was working properly, there is no mechanical issues that they could see, and they start scratching their head to say, hey, what was going on here? And that's where we will get back involved and forensically recreate the weather conditions using satellite Doppler weather radar, the next gen, looking at our observations, trying to put all the pieces together. And again, going vertically, trying to look at, hey, where's the freezing level? Where are the cloud bases, the tops? What type of clouds? Was it potential for icing? So we go through a whole sequence of events of looking at what were the conditions, cloud bases, tops, freezing level. And again, weather is always around us. And even just little things like wind direction can be a big aspect. But even when we start flying, what's the first thing we start looking at? Wind direction. We start looking at performance. So even density, altitude, things of that nature can come into play on a lot of our accidents. So we'll even actually document an accident for our performance people, because weather is based into performance.
Sure.
I want to bring in now Emily Chipman, who's a staff meteorologist with EAA Radio this year. Emily, welcome.
Thank you.
Emily's part of a large number of interns from St. Cloud State University and is a meteorology major. So, Emily, thanks for joining. You got questions for Don.
Yeah, like you said, like that people in the morning usually are supposed to look at the weather briefing and then they get an updated one. Do you think sometimes they like ignore the weather with like anything popping up like thunderstorms and choose to ignore it and say they can fly straight through it? Is that what could cause some accidents too as well?
It can, but you know, one of the big studies we did at the NTSB is we'll look at what weather information the pilot may have looked at, any updates, so we'll go back to ATC and we'll find out any in-flight advisories, things of that. But we find that almost 40% of the accidents that do occur due to weather, that the pilot failed to get a standard briefing or it was inadequate in some way, such as he might have just gotten a METAR and TAF, didn't look at the in-route conditions, didn't look at the adverse conditions, or even the simple things as where's the freezing level. So just little things like that says it was inadequate can make a difference. And again, everyone knows weather changes, and I'll be the first to tell you our weather forecasts are not perfect, 99% maybe, but they're not perfect. And you need to know that, hey, if conditions aren't what you're experiencing as they were forecasted, you need to get an update. And that could be very critical. And especially Don, thunderstorms.
Yeah, and Don, and you addressed this a little bit, but I'm just a little bit curious. For example, the NTSB has radar and ATC tapes available to them that are recorded that you might be able to see the path of an aircraft. So that technology is already in place. Is there technology that you can use to create the historical basis of what happened that's as accurate as that type of information?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, that's what we do. And of course, it's not as easy as just flipping a switch. It's getting the data. And again, if it's a VFR flight, we may not have that track data. But if they are on an instrument flight plan, or we do can separate the aircraft track transponder codes, we'll try to get a track, superimpose the radar, the satellite imagery, trying to reconstruct it. And again, a lot of times when we have an accident, we don't have a lot of clues. So it's a matter of looking what we have, putting the pieces together, looking at, again, environmental factors, ATC, human factors, and we can't always get in the pilot's mind of what he was thinking and what he was doing 100% of the
time. We're talking with Don Eich, who's a senior meteorologist with the National Transportation Safety Board. Are there patterns that you see in what GA pilots will often either get wrong or miscalculate on or fail to pay attention to?
There are some patterns. A lot of our loss control, which is our big factor that we're concentrating on right now, since it is the highest cause of general aviation accidents right now, next to power plant failures, controlled flight in the terrain, collision with terrain, VFR and IMC, or any other systems problems, it's that loss of control, could be basic airspeed management, weather, again, tied into this a little bit too sometimes. But it's hard to pinpoint all the factors, but we do see some basic stick and rudder skill failures, some impairment that, you know, we pre-flight an aircraft, or we should be pre-flighting an aircraft, but sometimes we need to be pre-flighting ourselves with medical and medications that we're taking and saying, hey, it's not a safe time to fly, fatigue issues. We do see accidents like that. We do see a few fuel exhaustion accidents. But again, the highest factor, we're seeing that loss of control.
But how about weather as a contributor to loss of control? What do you see there in terms of patterns?
A lot of the patterns are spatial disorientation, basically pilot getting into the clouds, not being certified for flight, not in IFR, instruments not properly working. But then we start talking about thunderstorms, and every year, I hate to say, we see 6 to 9 accidents a year with thunderstorms where it's forecasted, it's there, just pilot decision. And hate to say, a lot of times they're carrying their families with them, and that makes it harder. But again, just making bad decisions or not having that alternate plan to say, hey, you know, you're not going to get through a thunderstorm in a light aircraft. Even the air carrier aircraft were, again, I was a meteorologist for a major airline, there are times we rerouted. If you couldn't fly over it, you divert. So there are times you have to make good weather decisions, and that's the key thing we're trying to push to everyone, is make good decisions pre-flight, alternate plans.
Paul? Very briefly, if you could wave a wand and fix one thing with general aviation pilots and how they manage weather, what would it be?
Respecting Mother Nature and getting that pre-flight briefing and knowing your limitations and always having an alternate plan. If weather doesn't cooperate, you make the decision to divert, land short, refuel, but respect Mother Nature, because even our aircraft, they're built better today than they were years ago. But again, Mother Nature still can work against you and is an enemy.
Thanks, Don.
That's Don Ike, senior meteorologist with the National Transportation Safety Board. Don, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So a little later in the hour, after this next break, we're going to be visited by some folks with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and how controllers help save pilots in trouble. You're listening to EAA Radio.